Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Finally, a video game adaptation that stays true to the video game, which means it has absolutely no plot. We saw Street Fighter. So you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? Gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to another episode of How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer. Joined, as always, by my two co-hosts. Please welcome June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
Good. How are you?
Very good. And also Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Paul, pretty good. Thank you.
We have a very special guest on the show today. Super funny guy. You will see him in the upcoming new season of She Heart, She Holler. Please welcome John Gemberling.
Hi. Thank you.
I'm very excited to have you on the show.
Very
talk
excited
about
to
this.
Be here.
This movie. I never saw this movie. Street Fighter, the Jean-Claude Van Damme classic with Raul Julia, who was dying of horrible stomach cancer throughout this film.
Is this his final movie?
Final movie. Yep.
That is depressing.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
But gives a good performance.
Yeah. As, did you see at the end of the movie, it says for Raul via Con Dios.
Via Con Dios, yeah.
It's what comes up like directly after the last shot. The movie, yeah.
Jesus,
the credits.
Yes. Via Con Dios.
I will say, in doing some research for this movie, you know, I was like looking around online. There's a lot of like making of Street Fighter the movie, and you know there's a big fight scene obviously between Jean-Claude Van Damme and Raul Julia, the fight that everyone's been wanting to see. These two people
these
face
two
off.
Titans of physical.
Not since Ben Gazzara and Patrick Swayze has there been a fight scene that you really got to get in the mix of. But they had all these fight scenes, and you see like Jean-Claude in his outfit, and Raul Julia is in a beautiful bathrobe with like a neckerchief, yep. Like, and it's like he's rehearsing these fight scenes in a neckerchief and bathrobe. I was like, classy motherfucker. Like, I just
love. But is that his rehearsal outfit?
It was his rehearsal outfit. It was not his
civilian clothes.
It was not his character's clothes because they are not the same thing.
But it wasn't the wardrobe from his like
seduction scene. No, it was in the final scene. So it was like a white bathrobe with this like beautiful folded over. He's a classy guy. This movie. Man,
I couldn't figure this thing out at all.
I mean,
could not make heads or tails.
I didn't understand who was who. I didn't understand.
Did you guys play the video game?
No.
I mean, I played it in the arcade, but I didn't, like, I mean, does it follow anything? I mean, I didn't think that this is a video game where two people just fight.
Street Fighter is like a button smasher, right?
Yeah, there's not like a...
But I gotta ask, though, John, it's because you've played the video game.
Mm-hmm.
So who in the video game is a Street Fighter?
Well, they're all street fighters.
Yeah, they're all street fighters. All even though
wait. I love the way you just said who in the video game is a street fighter?
Well, like, they're always fighting, such enunciation.
Like, okay, but Jean-Claude Van Damme is not a street fighter.
No.
Oh, well,
and
yeah.
And two guys that's what I'm saying. In the movie version of it, who are we to look to say, like, this is a street fighter?
Oh, the boxer and the sumo wrestler.
You know, like in the cage fighting ring, the guy with the guy with the spikes on his thing.
Yeah, Vega.
Okay, but the Jean-Claude Van Damme character, our hero, is not a street fighter?
I guess no. No.
But he's capable of it.
He's capable of hand-to-hand combat.
But is he also in the video games, that character?
Yes.
Guile.
And he is, I think he's in the Air Force, though. He's not in the AN.
Well, the AN, which is clearly the United Nations did not want their name on this. They're like,
of course.
The Allied Nations, the Allied Nations. And they couldn't be in the Air Force either. They're like, yeah, we're not getting behind.
And Van Damme, isn't he a colonel? He's a colonel.
Yes.
Yes.
Would a colonel be like running an entire operation
no.
in a country?
No. He seems to be the most important military figure in the world.
And by the way, I was kind of shocked at one point in the movie because I did not get that he was this whole AN thing, but at a certain point he takes off the jacket and you reveal like this big American flag on his bicep. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're American? Like, you're fighting in this allied nation. It's like, you don't have to be American. You could be a French Foreign Legion. You could be anything. Like, you don't have to be an American.
Such a weird choice.
And being that he is himself not American.
Yes.
And cannot speak with an American accent.
So weird.
Well, and is the sentiment is like, it's America versus Shadaloo.
Yeah, the small country. Like Indonesian country where the main plan, I guess, is that Raul Julia.
Yeah, I want someone to take a stab at this.
This is what I get.
Yeah. I'm just going to sit back and listen to this.
So Raul Julia captured like about 60 tourists. And
no,
now,
I thought they were AN workers.
I think they were AN workers.
Oh, okay. So he got like some workers. And then he's holding them hostage for $20 billion.
Mm-hmm. Which is so a that he comical
can,
amount.
So that he can build, what was like his own...
Bisonopolis.
Bisonopolis, thank you.
Right, a fake city in this architecturally that's designed to look like his logo.
And where one of the main features is the food court that the major food chains can buy into.
Yes, which he was very concerned because they're all going to want to get in
they're
there.
They're all going to want to get in.
And so what does he want to happen there?
I don't know.
The Bisonopolis doesn't seem like, it seems like that's a very benign goal. It doesn't seem like he's going to launch terror attacks. It just seems like he'd like to build a giant mall.
Well, he wanted the Pax Bisonia or whatever every despot wants to conquer so much that they can bring peace.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I did not get that.
Yeah.
So, wait, I'm sorry. You have to say that again a little bit. Say that again, John. So he's actually fighting for good?
Well, you know that, like, that despotic thing of, like, you know, I'm going to take over everything so then I can bring peace. So then I'll rule everything and then it'll be peaceful.
I do know that thing. I do know it.
That's what he said, but he's got a, you know, he's a megalomaniac.
Right. So, yes. Okay, so that's the idea that we're not, you know, he's saying that, but we might suspect otherwise.
We might suspect.
Yeah, I mean.
He's like a mass murderer. He's like Idi Amin.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's a stone cold cuckoo bananas person.
Okay. Which, by the way,
well, because,
by the
one
way,
of
though,
the themes of the movie, and this, sorry to interrupt, Paul, but this is why I bring it up, is because I did feel that there was a theme emerging of like the lines between good and evil are not as distinct as we think they are.
Oh.
Well, wait a second. What?
Well, I think that was one of the themes of the movie. That,
I don't
like,
know. I think it's pretty clear who's good
no,
and who's
not,
bad.
No, it's not. Because
Zangief
was too stupid to understand. And even how to do a thumbs up properly.
Right, but also...
Oh, wait, that's what it was?
Yeah, because he gives the side thumbs up and then they turn it...
By the way, that guy, he's amazing. And he delivers on every level.
Oh, wait, but Zangief is in Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, uh-huh.
I know that character from. His other acting job in Wreck-It Ralph. I'm just kidding, the cartoon character.
One of the other guys, I don't know who they were. I don't know how they relate to the story.
What did they wear?
So they were the guys, the Asian guy and his buddy.
Okay, the kung fu, the gi wearing guys.
Yes.
Ken and Ryu.
Okay, yeah.
Who, by the way, I thought had a very sexualized relationship.
Really?
I thought there was a little connection between, like...
Man, you're always looking for gay stuff in the movies.
Hey, yeah. Look, I like it. I like these guys really getting together.
Yep.
I thought that they played off that a little bit, but go ahead. I will get back to that.
I didn't see that, but Ken did say that he didn't know which way he was going to go, if he was going to be a good guy or a bad guy.
Right.
And then when the monster was being created, he was supposed to be created for evil, but then there was a moment of like, well, how does he know what's evil and what's good?
Right.
So anyway, I did think that that was one of the themes.
So there's
movie.
A blurring line of good of who's good,
yeah,
and who's evil for the very stupid, for the genetically enhanced.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like they were creating the monster, which is just the Incredible Hulk.
Why does he need to be green?
Why does he need to be green?
He was green. Blanka is green. In the game is green and has
Oh, all right.
Okay.
But I mean,
I love that all of our indignation is instantly. I'm so, by the way, so glad you know all of this,
yeah.
Because if you didn't, we would just be here being like, why is he green? And blah, blah, and the message boards would just be like, have you not seen the game? How do you not play the game? How do you not know who Ryu is? Are you fucking kidding me?
But see, it doesn't totally justify it, because I feel like if we're gonna see the scene in which he becomes that character, then I do want to understand a little bit. Like, I know his muscles are expanding, but I don't still understand why
he's green.
He became green.
We became green with all the anger. Well, clearly they were pumping some sort of chemical in his body, as they had these comically large bags. It was like enhanced DNA, like the way that you would kind of put like water in a bag at a hospital or something like that.
Like a saline drip.
Saline drip. And it but he, as he was expanding, he was also being brainwashed by these images.
Like Clockwork Orange style.
And I love, by the way, that there was a totally pre-prepared, pre-edited good imagery to be piped
in. Okay, but here's what that was. Here's what the good imagery was. Wait a second.
It was
a wedding.
A black wedding.
It was two weddings. First a regular wedding with white people, then a black wedding.
And then Martin Luther King Jr. doing the I Have a Dream speech.
Yep. Wait, but then there's... Wait, fuck.
And dolphins.
That was it. I was like, dolphins?
Yes.
What is this now?
That it represents all that is good. A African-American wedding, I Have a Dream, and dolphins. And then that
and
will...
And a white wedding.
And a white wedding. And that will just even you out. That will take the edge off the violence in Vietnam, Hitler references, and...
That shit, when they showed the good stuff, my mind exploded when it was white wedding followed by black wedding.
Take issue with that?
I was like, what?
You don't think that is the good stuff?
I genuinely was like, why are we letting them marry? Wait, what? No, I really was like, this is the craziest package of happy things to show people. White wedding, black wedding, Martin Luther King, dolphins.
It felt like the guy who had to edit it had to do it very quickly. He was like, I don't know how to work Final Cut. This'll do. These three things are fine.
He was already in the stock images folder for weddings.
Oh my
God. He was just like, we'll use both of these.
So basically, there's 3 days until Bison is going to take over the world. And
kill the hostages.
So who is he asking for the $20 billion? The AN?
From London, right?
Well, at the end, the AN has agreed to pay it, so I guess it's their authorization.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
But the guy has a British accent, which is why I think it's a little confusing.
Because didn't he say that the British pound was going to go up? Like, Bison's also created his fake money for Bisonopolis, kind of like
Disney.
Well,
his next plan is to kidnap the queen and force them to adjust the monetary rate so that his Bison credit is five times more than the pound.
I got confused. All right, that's the sequel.
That's over here.
Which, by the way, is set up in a brilliant post-credit sequence.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, well, in the end of the movie, the whole castle, spoiler alert, blows up that Bison lives in, and then all of a sudden his body is rebooting online. It's like, Commander Bison, what would you like to do? And it's like, world domination, replay. And he's going to, you know.
See, I thought that the sequel, not having seen any of the sequels, was going to be the monster character.
Blanka.
Yes.
Coming back like an Incredible Hulk style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was strange. How much do we jump around?
Oh, we know. Yeah, we could. Well, y'all, I feel like this movie. We could jump around.
Don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah, get in wherever you.
Yeah,
can.
Jump wherever you.
Well, that was strange that the Indian guy Dasim.
Yes.
And Blanca just decided.
How did you guys remember these names?
Because they're characters
in the video. Okay, fine. I didn't know what was happening.
They decided to die, or they decided to, they're like, we're staying, but they were staying in a place that was blowing up.
I thought they were saying, like, we can't go with you and live your life. I have a plan. We're going to go and do our thing, figure out our lives, and we'll get back to you.
It seemed like they were saying,
no,
we're
staying. No, it's a suicide mission.
Oh, wow.
But Blanca was Charlie.
Yeah.
Which it took me a little beat to figure that out.
I couldn't figure that out at all.
And that's not a true thing that happened in the video game. Like, that's not Guile's friend.
Well, just even before that happens, I have to remind us of the moment where Jean-Claude sees Blanca for the first time and within seconds decides to kill him.
He's going to mercy
him. Yeah.
Because this is
a child. This is a movie for children.
PG-13.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Then that's a little
different. But still. By the way, when Jean-Claude talks about it, he's like, I'm very excited to make a child.
Yeah, he basically is like, oh, I'm going to put you out of your misery by putting a bullet in your head.
And Blanca, you staring at me.
Blanca can still speak, can still reason, recognizes
him.
I mean, none of this is adding up to mercy kill time. He's a little
not
bit
yet.
Deformed.
Hey, not yet. Right. Not yet.
By the way that Charlie is chosen to become Blanca.
Oh my God, this is so crazy.
Like Jean-Claude Van Damme takes over control of like a newscast, and he's yelling at Bison like, "Hey Bison, we're coming for you." And he does like a wrestling kind of slam where you like put your elbow like into the palm of your hand, like, "Ooh, I'll give you a little of that." It became like a wrestling ad, and then in the middle of this like threatening Bison, he's like, "And Charlie, I'm coming for you, man. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get you back."
Like, what? Why would you reveal anything that you knew? Like, why would you reveal that information? He's the worst soldier.
Yeah. You're putting the hostage at way more risk.
And by the way, it just happens that Charlie happened to be standing right there on the, as they were kind of like checking out the terror.
His name is Carlos.
Oh, Carlos.
Right?
No, it's Carlos.
It's Charlie. It was Carlos. They called him Carlos, but I think Charlie is his.
Charlie's his nickname.
Yeah.
And
so that, because that was the thing, he was like, "Charlie, don't worry, we're gonna come and get you, Charlie." And then Raul Julia walks up to him and takes out his dog tag,
right,
and goes, "Carlos, whatever, Charlie." And I was like, "What? No, that's not right at all. His name is Carlos."
Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah, save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice. Plus, visit your in-laws. Plus, venture into the wilderness. Plus, wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eats all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick plus Mean Girls plus Jack Reacher plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas plus free delivery plus Paramount plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions. $35 order minimum. Paramount Plus essential plan only. Separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at Airbnb.com. Cap'nCrunch.com/host. Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious, even in a sea of milk. The crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes. My family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new cinnamon crunch now at a retailer near you, and learn more at Cap'nCrunch.com.
By the way, more than ever, this is a movie that introduces a shitload of characters so quickly. You're like, yes. Oh, what? Okay, and then they're all lying about what they're doing. Like, a lot of them are like, you don't know.
Well, they're all secret street fighters. That's the thing, right?
Well, some are all arms dealers. I mean, Ryu and Ken are arms dealers.
But they're street fighters.
I guess I'm
going to ask a really dumb question.
But yes. I was going to say, I just like that they're, by the way, Ken and Ryu's thing is that they deal toy guns? Like, that's their plan?
Yeah, they're tennis ball guns.
Like, but that's their plan? Like, that's their scheme?
It's a really bad
one. They create these elaborate looking guns that like, they're not.
Where the barrels are the size of tennis balls.
Yeah. Like, to me, it's like, just create a realistic looking gun. You don't have to provide the tennis balls.
Or you don't have any guns at all. If the plan is go to the pier and get our guns.
Yeah.
Just have nothing there. I mean, just be lying.
Yeah, why do you have to go? Yeah, why do you have to manufacture the fake guns?
Then they were holding them at gunpoint, and they were, like, afraid, like, they were really having guns pointed at them.
Well, those tennis balls come out pretty quick.
Quick question, and I may be revealing too much about myself, but what exactly, and I know you, I think you answered it a couple minutes ago, but what exactly is a street fighter?
Okay, so, like, there's a... It's like underground. It's like underground fighting.
What exactly is a street fighter?
Like, did you ever see Bloodsport? That's like a legitimate sort of underground fighter. Van Damme was also in that.
It's like Fight Club, but like it's like Fight Club.
It's like
right?
underground
it's
fighting.
It's like, yeah. It's like dog fighting with humans.
So when they're in the cage, that is street fighting. When they're in the cage,
yeah, I mean, I guess it could be on the street though. Fighting, but
I mean, yeah, street fighting is like sort of like what. Remember when we saw the Mike Tyson show? He said that he would do street fighting. Like he would beat up like 30-year-old men in the street. Like and people get paid money.
Great. So was the woman, the Asian woman,
Chun-Li.
Now is she a street fighter? I guess I just want to get a real handle.
In the video game, they're all street fighters.
Right. But well, the video game, you would argue there's no other plot besides the fact that you pick a character and then you fight with them. And then
well, except that there is an expanded universe. I mean, there are cartoons of this and stuff that's come out over the years. So I actually looked up Shadaloo, and it's not a country. In the game, it's Bison's organization. Shadaloo. So I don't know why they called it the country Shadaloo.
Oh, okay. So this is just more of a... So that's his evil thing.
So basically what it is I mean, the game is a fighting game, and they just populate it with all of these characters who have different fighting styles, you know? So there's Mortal Kombat,
was like that too.
There's a boxer, there's Kung Fu guys, there's Chun-Li, a ninja.
Like Chun-Li used to do a cool thing with her leg.
I guess here's my problem.
She had a speed kick.
Yeah.
John, here's my problem with it, though. Those types of fighting, though, would they normally be found on the street? No, see, this is what I'm not understanding.
Well, in the game, most of the locations are outdoors. Some of them are streets.
Yeah.
I know, in the game, but I guess what I'm saying is...
The movie is not trying to document an actual thing that exists.
Right.
The movie is trying to approximate a video game.
Well, movie is also...
Then I'm asking about the video game.
The movie is also not good. It's not a good representation of Street Fighter.
Oh, it's not?
It's as if...
I'm just kidding.
They basically took the characters and populated a world in a very different way.
It's as if the writer of the movie was like, you guys, and somebody handed him a list of... here are the characters in this movie, here's what they look like, and you're just allowed to just put them in whatever roles
like,
you want.
My questions were like, well, I see a guy in boxing gloves. Well, that seems like that's for the indoors and not for the streets. Like, I'm genuinely, but whatever.
Well, you're talking about Balrog, right?
Yeah, Balrog. Yeah.
His level in the video game is actually, it's on the red carpet, I think, outside of a boxing match on the street. So he does fight on the streets.
Now, I will say that Steven D'Souza, the writer-director of this movie, did not want to make a generic martial arts movie after the disaster of Super Mario Brothers, and he described the film as a cross between Star Wars, James Bond, and a war film. And he didn't want to shoehorn in
Star Wars and a war film?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Because there's no similarities there. And he didn't want to shoehorn in elements of the games.
He said he did not want to shoehorn in elements of the games.
Yes. He said he avoided the supernatural elements
John,
and powers.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
John?
Well, I just...
I would say that they are incredibly shoehorned at certain points.
All the characters are shoehorned. An oil drum says Capcom on the top at one point.
Yes, the magic act part, yeah.
Signature moves and phrases are essentially shoehorned in there.
It's incredibly shoehorned. The whole movie, I mean, yeah, it is incredibly shoehorned. I would argue also, like, Chun-Li is our way in. I mean, she's the fearless reporter who we find out has just gotten into reporting because she needed to do research on bison.
To get to him so she could kill him.
Yes.
Because he killed her father.
And she gives a very dramatic monologue about how bison came into her town and...
Oh, this was actually... I liked this.
This is a great interaction.
Me too.
A very long monologue. Good. And... and, you know, she killed her father and family and everybody in her village. And, you know, and does anyone remember the exact quote?
Because she says something along the lines of, like, you remember, like, it.
He says, what was the day that you will never forget or something like that? The most important day of your life to me.
Or the worst day of your life, yeah.
The day that bison came into your life.
He says something along the lines of, like, what was the worst day of your life?
Was Tuesday for me.
Was a Tuesday. Yeah. Pretty great line.
She can't believe she's telling him, you killed my father. Do you remember? Blah, blah, blah.
Can't remember.
And he basically is like, I have no recollection of the story you're telling me.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. It goes, you and your bullies were driven back by farmers with pitchforks. My father saved his village at the cost of his own life. You had him shot as you ran away, a hero at 1,000 paces. And then Bison says, I'm sorry. I don't remember any of it. Then Chun-Li says, you don't remember? Then Bison says, for you, the day Bison graced your village was the most important day of your life. But for me, it was a Tuesday.
So he remembers what day it was.
Yes, yeah. was that true to the game? Did he kill him on a Tuesday?
I don't know.
All the street fights took place on a Tuesday in the game.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Well, I loved that character for a couple of reasons. Chun-Li, when she goes undercover, it's in the middle of the day, and she puts on an all-black ninja suit, but it's in the middle of the day, and she is she's trying to follow a homing beacon, and she follows the homing beacon to another homing beacon.
Yes. There is literally a line. There's a prison break, and the prisoners get on a truck, and they drive out of the city.
Yes.
They decide to do their prison break in the middle of the base.
Which was a weird thing. Like, why don't you wait until the truck gets out of the prison base?
And why were they transporting Sagat with all of his men?
Yes, together.
That was because to get a prison break to happen. That was on purpose.
Right.
Because that's the fake, that's the Jean-Claude Van Damme shooting scene. That's the fake out so that they can get their guys, their spies in. Anyway, whatever. Prison break. Okay.
But was
so,
Jean-Claude
so,
Van Damme expecting them to break out of the prison, or did he just want them to think that, okay.
What he wanted was for them,
but I thought he just wanted to ingratiate those two with the eye patch guy.
Well,
I didn't know that they had to break out of the prison.
Yes, because basically then he's got guys within the working organization, not just in with them in prison.
And it would lead them to Bison.
Yeah, which they do.
Which is a great plot point, but here's where I'm confused.
Wait, I just want to say this one line. So, what's her name? Chun-Li?
Chun-Li.
Throws a homing beacon on the thing, and then she says to her guys, okay, well, we're probably not, we got to find them because we're probably not the only people who put a homing beacon on that truck. And I was like, what?
No, you're
probably say, not? What the fuck are you talking about? You're 100% the only person who threw a homing beacon onto that truck. That was not a normal thing.
Well, Ken and Ryu had a homing beacon also.
Ken and Ryu did it too?
Yeah, because they needed to track where...
I see what you're saying.
They're in the van and they're like, we're getting interference. Is it the wind or whatever? And they're like, no, it's too constant. It must be another homing beacon.
We're probably not the only people that put a homing beacon on that truck. I don't know. That made me laugh.
Well, but by the way, there is no reason... There's no reason why they should know it because to the world, it was a prison break.
Yeah.
So... Why would someone else be putting a beacon on that truck? Like, why?
And I think she put it together that it was.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Well, but now here's my. This is where I'm confused, because when she does follow that homing beacon, she, like we said, Jean-Claude Van Damme fakes his death. She's like sneaking around in this room, and there's Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah,
the morgue. Yes.
Okay. How do you know it's the morgue?
Oh, because there's a different.
There's
color.
A skeleton.
Oh, there's also a body part.
And body parts in different colors of water.
It is like the most lame, like the props for this were preposterous.
It's the first time I noticed set design go, that was bad.
It looks like it's like a science class, and it is a
laboratory.
There was a laboratory.
There was a guy actually dissecting a frog. And,
yeah, exactly.
So she goes into the morgue where it's a very sparse morgue, only where one body is there. And there's Jean-Claude Van Damme's body. And then he pops up and is like, hey, yeah, I'm not dead. I wore this comical blood pack thing. Which, by the way, so was he just waiting in the morgue?
Yeah, so wait a minute.
Under a blanket.
So, yeah, he got shot.
Yes.
Then we have then she throws a homing beacon.
Yes.
Then we have the scene where they are in the van determining that there's another homing beacon. Yes.
In which she's turning into a ninja.
Yeah. She hops out. She does a crawl through. You know, I think there was another scene in there. It's been like probably an hour or two.
Oh, at the least.
And he is just lying on the slab the whole time.
Well, and by the way, when Jean-Claude does get shot, the medical team runs over to him. And immediately, like, a guy puts on, like, a little briefcase that has a big cross on it, and then another guy comes up with a big tarp and just covers him. Like, oh, yeah, he's dead. There was no resuscitation.
Nope.
I mean, so were they in on it? I don't know, maybe. But still,
but there's also a million tourists, for some reason, taking pictures.
Because he's also kind of a celebrity, Colonel, right?
Well, yeah, because he does those WWF shout-outs all the time to Bison.
Well, that's what was unclear, is how they were acting as if this was a global crisis. Yeah. But really, it feels like just a local...
Very local.
...warlord thing.
Like, yeah, like it's something that happened in, like, Myanmar or something. Yeah. It's a very small...
So, now, what was the relationship between...
I just want to talk about him being in the... So, he's in there, like... So, 40 minutes, easily 40 minutes passes... And he's just lying there?
Yeah, still, well, like a corpse. He's in his role as a corpse.
And the homing beacon thing led them there. Sorry. So his homing beacon thing, he's like, put my homing beacon
on him?
Receptor in the morgue next to me?
No, that's that big machine with the rotating satellite dish that says homing beacon. I was like, is this for fucking real? What the fuck is this nonsense? And here's the thing. The minute he basically has faked his own death and set up this whole thing to ingratiate his spies with the blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the minute he gets brought back in, he should be up and in motion. He should be,
it's like, let's go, it's going
where
time.
Are they going? What's going on? Let's follow the signal.
Let's monitor.
He is lying under a sheet in the morgue, pretending to be He's in an empty room.
Yeah,
he doesn't have to act dead for anybody. He's in an empty room.
He's going full DDL, Daniel Day-Lewis on it. He's going full method.
If she had not shown up, what would he have done?
Well, his cohorts, Kylie Minogue and the gang, show up.
That was Kylie Minogue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, they show up a couple of seconds after. What's her name?
Chun-Li.
So I hope that he was waiting for them to get up.
Oh,
but nobody seems surprised that he's like the guard
that
shows up.
Well, no, we never see the moment. And that's the weird thing about the movie is that we never see that moment of like people in the streets or anyone realizing or his own army.
Oh, no.
Realizing he's alive.
Yeah, when he's back in action, nope, doesn't matter. Like nobody's nobody's phased.
Oh, I just got a question too. What were they trying to stop? Like what? Like there was never a threat. Like he didn't say I'm going to launch missiles.
Nope.
I'm going to blow something up.
Nope.
Like
He's going to kill the hostages.
The hostages.
But that's it. Like, I mean, didn't he have a doomsday device too? Or didn't he?
Nope. Worst case scenario, you've got 60 dead UN workers and a dictator in charge of a small country. That's
But it's not great. I don't think they should have gone in there?
But it just seems like this guy is like, where this guy's in a fucking palace.
Are we talking about Iraq?
Yeah.
Guys, are we talking about Iraq?
I mean, it's not great.
This is clearly an allegory for the first Gulf War.
The one thing about this movie that I kept on thinking was, this movie is racist. I just can't understand what country they're making, like what they're saying. Like, I was like, it's definitely stereotypical, but I just don't understand what country they're being stereotypical.
Well, who were the Shadaloo?
That you're absolutely right. That's a big flaw in the movie, is that we don't know who we're supposed to be caring about. Like, who are we protecting? We don't know any of the hostages aside from
Charlie.
And we barely know.
Well,
and
by the way, when they're escaping, they look like tourists. That's why I said they were tourists. They're like wearing, like, they have like comical cameras and feather hats. They're
as audience members, we have no like interest. And that's why I think you think that saving 60 hostages is not a big deal when in fact it is. But it's because we don't know these people.
Well, it feels like a Thailand like country. But I want to bring up this specific, when Balrog and E. Honda are getting essentially tortured.
I know all this.
E. Honda's
the sumo wrestler.
Yeah. And
sumo wrestler.
Boxer.
Okay. Sumo wrestler who in the game is Japanese, for some reason in this is Hawaiian.
And every time he's there.
This Hawaiian music.
Well, every time he gets whipped, he's calm and like a little Hawaiian ukulele.
They whip him like it's a scene from Passion of the Christ.
Oh, yeah. And then later on in the movie, when he takes off his shirt, you see those whip marks on his back.
But the guy who's whipping him is a fat white guy or European.
Yes.
He's very Nordic looking.
And when he starts whipping him, he says, "This is how we treat foreigners in Shadaloo." So he's a native of Shadaloo.
Okay, wait a second. I couldn't tell who the natives of Shadaloo were at all.
See, I almost thought that Shadaloo was this, like, almost like the way that Dr. Doom and
Latveria?
I kind of thought this was his land, and he was just kind of building this new mall and needed some money to build the new mall in a place that he already owned, and it was a place where expats could come in and do whatever. Like, in my mind, that's the kind of what
really?
He...
Really?
That's how I put it together.
Sounds like a dream.
I couldn't figure out that made it really hard, because nobody had a country of origin that made sense for what they were doing.
No.
You know, because Jean-Claude Van Damme is an American military leader.
Yes.
No. Raul Julia is an American leader, dictator of a foreign country. That doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. His Jamaican...
Because he's also... kind of not, he doesn't seem ultimately foreign either. Like,
wait a second, you're saying Raul Julia was American?
No, but he didn't have an accent really. I'm not saying he was American, but he was not like foreign.
Yeah, that's
in any way.
He was not a native of Shadaloo.
I don't know. I don't know.
Shadaloo.
I think he was.
He was a Shadalooan?
I think he was a Shadalooian.
You see, boy. All right.
I think he was too, but you're right.
But is his Jamaican right-hand man Shadalooian?
No, he's Jamaican. Definitely
he's
Jamaican.
Because he wants to get back to Jamaica.
Oh, sorry. Fuck that. I don't get this movie at all. My favorite, two of my favorite lines are when Jean-Claude Van Damme says to a press conference, "The war is canceled."
Oh, yes.
He says, "The war is canceled."
I have this clip if you want to hear.
Please.
This is an amazing clip. Here you go. The war is canceled.
"I just received new orders."
It's a little long.
"Our superiors say the war is canceled." "We can all go home."
I'm keeping it long
Bison
because...
"Bison is getting paid off for his crimes. And our friends who have died here will have died for nothing."
This character is American.
"But... we can all go home."
The good recurring theme.
"Meanwhile, ideals like peace, freedom, and justice, they get packed up. But we can all go home."
He's bringing it back. You're coming to the best part.
"Well, I'm not going home. I'm going to get on my boat, and I'm going upriver, and I'm going to kick that son of a bitch Bison's ass so hard that the next Bison wannabe... he's gonna feel it. Now, who wants to go home? And who wants to go with me?"
Yeah. Now, that is the rousing, that is the Patton moment of this movie. Beautifully scripted speech.
I actually like that speech, and I thought it was delivered well.
It's not the worst speech.
I don't think he delivered it poorly.
I don't think so either. I like it. I just do like that he breaks out and Jason disagreeing.
Guys,
I think.
Did you? What the fuck are you talking about?
John fell out.
Sure. I mean, what is going on?
John is holding onto his headphones right now.
Oh my God.
I think that that
was a terribly written speech delivered like garbage. That was shameful. What just happened was a war crime.
And while he's delivering the speech, we're panning around the soldiers, and they're nodding knowingly, and it's like as if we like love these characters. It's like, this is what this guy thinks.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know these people. This whole movie treats all the characters like they're classics that we love just because they're two-dimensional video game characters.
Well, Jason, I will say, I didn't feel this speech was as stirring when I watched it, and maybe because it was because of all the cutaways to the extras, but listening to it. Now.
What are you, June?
I did like it better.
Thank you, John.
There is a rhythm to it that I like. I will just. Can we play the scene where we're gonna play? This is a scene where someone questions Jean-Claude Van Damme about his decision here. This is the next scene right after that. Here we go.
Colonel, yes, a single boat against everything he's got, the pilot would have to be out of his mind.
Luckily, Bison is driving me crazy. So I'm gonna do it. Synchronize your watches. 0500, gas stove at 0600.
I just love that, like, you have to be out of your mind. Luckily, I am out of my mind.
Like, not only that, but, like, there are full stop pauses between every word both of those characters are saying.
Oh, my God. Guys.
And synchronize your watches. So everybody just come on their own.
Yeah.
In an hour,
guys, you gotta.
Responsible.
We were talking about the writing. You know what this guy wrote? This is Steven D'Souza. He wrote Die Hard.
No.
Yes.
No.
He wrote 48 Hours.
No.
He wrote Commando.
No.
Jumping Jack Flash.
I don't think you're right.
No.
Yes. And then it goes down now.
D'Souza.
But now it goes downhill. Another 48 Hours.
Okay.
Die Hard 2. Hudson Hawk. The Flintstones,
oh,
Beverly Hills Cop 3, Judge Dredd, Street Fighter, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, and then he kind of stopped after that.
Wow.
But that there was a period where he was
on fire.
I mean, Die Hard is an amazing script. I mean, just in terms of story, like, it's so good.
Basically, from 1990 forward, things go downhill for Steven D'Souza.
Wow.
Well, yeah. Francis Ford Coppola did Jack, so.
True.
So it's possible.
How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that, and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on 4 bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium-flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan Michigan, and Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly, 21 plus. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, that combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter, I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these.
Can I bring up the boat ride?
Oh, yes,
Van
please.
Damme's boat ride attack.
Yeah. By the way, the boat ride had to be written in last minute because the people of Thailand did not want an air attack. He was supposed to fly in, yes, as an Air Force pilot, but they needed to transform it to a boat because, like, Thailand's like, no, you can't do, like, stuff in the air.
Well, that's funny.
But so yeah. That's why he wasn't in the Air Force in this.
Right. Ooh. So his stated plan is, I'm going to go up the east bank and cause a distraction while the whole force comes in. That's what he said in the briefing. And then first, his tape, he puts a tape in. They've got a TV in the boat.
What the fuck was this?
He puts a home movie tape in.
He puts like a beta tape. He literally loads a beta tape into a video screen in his boat that I believe he is driving.
He's definitely driving that boat.
And he watches home movies in the boat.
Of him and Charlie. Well, it's sort of like,
by the way,
like
he was shooting it because it was like a scene where they're at a bar. Like, it was not like a home video.
I thought that they were like at an outside cafe.
But who's taping, who's making home videos that has like where people are eating it?
And also, I thought this is the video where we see who his loved one was that Bison hurt.
Exactly.
Because he says to Chun-Li, this isn't about your vengeance. And then in an aside, it's about mine. But we never learned what his vengeance is.
I believe
is.
It's Charlie.
I think it is
the
Charlie.
The video, it's just Charlie.
I think it's a love story between him and Charlie.
Yeah, I agree. Because that is, I think you could look at that early scene between him and Bison when he's on the news, when he calls out Charlie and say that, okay, he knew Bison had Charlie early on, and that was his motivation the entire time.
But him and but they give the sense that he and Bison have been locked in like a
Hatfield and McCoy
warrior
kind of feud. Yeah.
Oh.
Right? I mean, they're always talking about meeting each other on the
battlefield.
Yeah.
No,
Who knows?
I feel like there's a lot of like things
who
that
fucking knows. I also like at one point the bad guys are all talking, and something happens, and then the guy gets up and just goes, "This conclave is over."
Scott.
Well, you could argue.
And I was like, "That's
though.
An amazing."
Well,
line.
There's amazing lines. There's a few amazing lines. This is one I wrote down. I'm the repo man, and you're out of business.
Great. Yep, that's not what the repo man does.
Yeah, that is
the repo man
does
just
not close
takes his property back from you.
By the way, I'm sorry to go back to the tape again, but when he puts in that tape, you could actually argue that it shows his relationship with Charlie is not strong at all, because he's going to save Charlie and a ton of other people. He should just be able to go save him and, you know, do that out of his love and what's in his heart for this man. He shouldn't have to watch a videotape to sort of,
I think,
pump him up.
Yeah,
to
well,
keep
yeah, his
on
reasons
going.
For watching that tape at that moment are very. I don't know. I don't know.
What reasons. Are the reasons?
I think it's just to remind us what the stakes are for him. It's about
just
saving his
us.
Best bro.
I'm sorry to go back to another line, but I just feel like it needs to be said. Another character at one point goes, I like my games live and in living color.
Yeah, Sagat says.
Yeah, so again, not really like, it's another weird line. Not a clever line. The cleverest line in the movie, in my opinion, was when Chun-Li spits and they say, hey, you're going to dehydrate yourself. Yeah. I thought that was a good line.
That's also a great line when the big Ophi guy says when they're watching on TV.
Yeah.
The whole news team is about to attack them during the little celebration. He's like, change the channel.
Oh, yeah.
He delivers those lines so
well. Well, basically, Chun-Li's plan was to record a live newscast of her setting a bomb that would be running into their village. Now, meanwhile, if she did not alert them to this newscast,
it would have succeeded.
And they, yes, but instead, she decided to out herself moments before the truck loaded.
How about the craziness of that scene? Is that Bison has captured everybody. Everybody's been captured. It's like a big room and blah, 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 blah. And there's lots of hubbub, hubbub. And then there's a moment of quiet. And you can hear Chun-Li's voice being like, this is Chun-Li reporting from blah, blah, blah. And they literally, everybody in the room stops, goes over, opens a door to a different room where there's a television on.
Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's
What the fuck is that about? Why is that the delivery system?
It was a delicate plan to just hope there was a lull in the
conversation. Holy shit, that was so crazy.
Well, I mean, that scene, that whole coming off of Chun-Li escapes from her ninja thing.
Yes.
When she finds Jean-Claude and the thing. The very next scene, she's in costume with her guys. They're all in costume. They've infiltrated Bison's place.
And you would not know it. June and I did not know. June's like, oh, there's Chun-Li. And I'm like, she was right.
They've choreographed.
There's no way to show, wait, how is she there?
They've got a performance that they've prepared.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I couldn't figure that out at all.
I think they must have shot that and didn't include it.
This conclave is over!
That scene. Sagat has brought... They brought the weapons, right?
Yes.
I don't know where they got the weapons because the other weapons shot tennis balls.
Is Sagat the eye patch guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're all passing... They're all impressed with the... they all pass around this one gun.
Yeah.
Every bad guy character holds the gun, cocks it, slaps it, looks down the barrel, caresses it. They pass around this gun, determine it's great. And then Bison leans over to Sagat and goes, basically, hey... Instead of money, you want part of the country? Why would he offer him a part of the country?
Yeah.
They've got a deal for money.
Yeah.
Why does he want to give him the country?
Why would you give him that much power? Why would you? Nonsense.
Yeah, I think he's full of a lot of false promises.
I mean, again, it just goes to the fact that someone did not figure out what were the stakes of the movie. There was a lot. It was a lot of characters going in here.
It was gobbledygook.
So many characters.
Sander Van Oakley, right? Or Oaker, right? That's a real person. That's a real CNN CNN correspondent who shot a cameo for this movie on a view screen.
I was kind of bummed that there wasn't a real love story in the movie between Van Damme and one of those ladies.
Well, I think Kylie Minogue was supposed to be that, right?
Well, it wasn't explored.
No,
it feels like Chun-Li at the end.
It's Chun-Li because he says he'd like to she's his type or something like that.
Wear this outfit when we do the interview.
Yeah,
there was some.
He walks around her and then delivers that line. But Kylie Minogue, first of all, why is she wearing a turtleneck under
her
uniform the entire time? She's wearing a bright blue turtleneck under it. But she starts to cry when she thinks.
Yeah.
I don't know video games, but is that stuff explored at all?
In the video game.
Oh, yeah. In the video game, there's a whole love level.
You guys are kidding. So, but in the video game, he doesn't have a love interest. Okay.
I would argue that Ken and Ryu are the main characters of the video game universe than Guile.
That's what I would say, too, in my limited knowledge of just playing it at video game places when I was a kid. I like that game.
When you're a kid, as we've established, in your 20s.
Early 20s.
When you're
20s.
A kid seeing the Spice Girls movie and going to the arcade.
Exactly. When I'm like that young 26 at the video arcade, just button smashing. I'm just trying to think of. I also thought there was very little fighting in this movie.
Very little.
For a movie that is called Street Fighter. And you would I wanted to see a lot more one-on-one fights. And even now I'm forgetting his name, the big fat guy,
E Honda
attacks Zangief. A lot of it was just a lot of I'm gonna jump on you. It wasn't even fighting. And finally Raul Julia and Guile have a little bit of a fight,
they don't have any of the powers that in the game. In the game, some of these people have secret moves that you can throw fireball, right? Isn't that the game, or is that the Mortal Kombat?
No, that's
true.
Right, okay.
That Ryu shoots fireballs at, right? Or that's Ken,
They both do.
Now, Lieutenant Cammy, that's Kylie Minogue. She's not a character in the game.
Cammy, DJ, and T-Hawk, the other guy who's always with them that at a certain point, only to out that it's that character, Van Damme goes, hey, T-Hawk, why are you wearing that bandana?
Oh, my God. Which they do as an ADR line in a wide shot.
Cammy, T-Hawk, and DJ were not in the original. They were in Super Street Fighter 2. That's when they were introduced. Okay.
Got it.
So what was your overall takeaway, John?
I thought that it's a lot to have to do to write a movie about a video game and, like, hold, you know, live up to all these specifics, right? Yeah. But I don't know why you have to deviate. Like, Bloodsport is a pretty good template for a movie like this. It's essentially a movie about people that square off against each other, and it has subplots and stuff, but it's done pretty well.
Yeah.
So it seems like an easier task to me to just go, we'll have the characters, they will, you know, we'll give it, I mean, it didn't even have the style of the game, you know? Like
there were no, like, yeah, there was no kind of, like, I kept thinking people were going to come up in, like, a facing each other, two-shot, like the game, and somebody was going to go fight, basically, you know?
Yeah.
Or at least open the movie like that. Like, give me a little bit of fighting. There's so much fucking guns in this movie, and there are boats, and it's like, it really is just saying, like, this is popular, right? We'll just take these characters and dump them in here and we'll put a whole plot.
But isn't there, like, a call from Jean-Claude Van Damme during the final showdown where he's like, let's not use weapons, like, let's just do it all?
Well, I actually have that clip. You can hear why. He gets very upset because apparently Bison has a very impressive suit that can resuscitate him from the dead.
Now, did he have electrical shooting powers before he got electrocuted or was that just afterwards?
Oh, I don't know.
I also do want to say, anytime anyone is pushed into an electrical box or a pipe, it explodes into sparks and steam.
Yeah.
It's like the worst. They're
all made out of balsa wood.
Yeah.
The poor doctor gets it the worst. He's shoved into everything.
Yeah.
every single thing he could be shoved into, he is.
What I really actually love about movies like this is, like, and I know it's like, well, this is like a cheap thing to pick on, but, you know, so he's creating this super soldier, Bison. And at the end of the movie, he's revealing his super soldier. But he has built, like, this elevator system to reveal it with these, like, spikes on either side. Like, it's a really cool reveal. But it would only really be used once. Like, there's no functioning to it. And I understand, like, what's movies, whatever. But it does just crack me up. It's like, okay, so in a couple of days, I'm going to release this guy.
So first I want, like, spears to come out of the ground.
Really make it look cool. And then we'll build a special elevator. But I
and
do
it's
want
all staged in the hostage pit. It is called the hostage pit several times.
Kylie Minogue straight up snaps the dude's neck in this movie, right?
Yeah, there's a bunch of neck snappings.
There was a lot of neck snapping.
But no blood. I think that's how they got away with no blood.
Yeah, PG-13.
There's like snap neck, which is a violent act. And a snap neck is a violent act.
More violent than shooting something.
I also love the moment where Bison has DJ check his Swiss bank account.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
So there must have been a scene that we don't see where Bison gives his Swiss bank account routing number to the AN. And says deposit. Yep. What's the point?
And the account balance is zero.
Yeah, it is a zero.
So he has no money in the account and is just waiting for it to say 20 billion.
A Swiss bank account is when you're keeping your money secret, right?
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
the point of having a Swiss bank account?
I guess you can wire money into it without any problem. But I don't
why
know.
Why not cash? Why?
But by the way, why would you reveal that that's the account that you would, like, it would be, well.
It is. They would seize his, they would freeze that account.
Yeah, and they could easily go, it's in there. And then the minute he, like, he.
It was so funny, that thing, account balance zero.
Zero.
And it refreshes, account balance zero.
Well, wait, I forgot. I mean, again, this movie was made in the 90s, right? It was made in 1994. Even then, for that time, the graphics were so shitty. And there's a part of the movie where they just put computer graphics on the screen for a long time, like longer than you think. Or it's like you're just seeing, like, Ryu and Ken captured, and maps coming down. It's like watching it's like watching, like, 10 loading screens of a computer. Again, not great for radio here, but I will tell you that it's a hilarious scene of just bad graphics that doesn't reveal anything.
What about the E. Honda Zangief Godzilla sent
oh my god
security camera footage
and the Japanese people
two
are
Japanese
watching
characters, yeah.
All the movie, by the way, is clearly in a foreign country. You would argue that everyone there is speaking a language that's not English, but then all of a sudden you run into these two Japanese people. You meet them for the first time. They have a Japanese conversation, turn on security camera, and then
he
they're
says,
watching,
let's watch the security footage, this might be strategically important.
That's right.
And then all he sees is just these two large guys wrecking Bisonopolis, his new place, like Godzilla. And did they add Godzilla sound effects in there as well? Really
How
breaking
about
reality.
When Raul Julia is trying to seduce Chun-Li, and there's a painting of a clown on the wall.
That was him.
That was him.
Painting of him.
It was actually a cheat. It was actually the same painting that was in John Wayne Gacy's house. It was like a nod to
Jesus
that.
Christ.
So that's how deep this movie went. Again, levels. Levels and levels and levels.
I can't handle this.
Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but there are other people who thought it was a lot better than us. These are 5-star reviews cold from Amazon in a segment we call A Second Opinion.
Yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective. I need a second opinion.
Oliver Clare writes, the climax is breathtaking, and some parts are very, very funny. Like the part when Bison's troops surround Guile high up on Bison's headquarters with massive rifles, and Guile responds by grinning with confidence and pulling out a penknife. Ha ha! It's only then that the camera moves and we see Guile's troops are behind him with even bigger guns. To sum it up, Street Fighter has its funny sides, ultra violence, tactical espionage, and swear words. 10 out of 10. It's all the requirements.
Oh,
by the way,
God.
Swear words. Does anyone else feel like all of the men had hair that had been dyed orange?
Yes.
That was like a very 90s, like early 90s thing that was happening. Like it was like they were...
Well, I mean, Guile has blonde hair, so they had to do his hair
But his hair can't be that color. I mean, it looked like they were trying to get them blonde, and they landed on this strange color for both of them.
Yeah. Well, the Guile character in the video game has very striking hair. It's actually, like, very large. It's, like, sort of large and flat on top and very blonde. And I think they didn't actually go far enough with Van Damme's hair.
The color of it is just not a color. I guess what I'm saying is it just doesn't exist in nature. Like, both of them had very strangely colored hair.
They did. Indeed. we can take up with their stylist. I want to read this other one here. There's another review that these two are some of my favorite reviews ever. This is my favorite DVD. It deserves 100 rewards. And I love this movie so much, I will never sell it for $1 million. And that's my opinion. So don't ever disrespect it. Buy this movie for everyone who wants a good movie. 5 stars.
Amazing.
Followed up by this one. First of all, this movie is excellent, and don't ever, and this means you, Daniel A. McClelland, say that again. You're insulting the stars who are in this movie, like Jean-Claude Van Damme, Raul Julia, Ming Yang, Damien Chappie, Kyle Minogue, and Wes Studi. They did very well. And don't underestimate a great movie, you idiot. 5 stars. So that was a very personal Amazon review. Some things that you guys should think about. Fabio was considered for the role of Vega.
Amazing. Okay.
And this is the one thing that really jumped out at me. The AN Forces radio DJ was played by Adrian Cronauer, who was the actual DJ that they based Good Morning Vietnam on.
He says, good morning, Shadaloo.
So it is not not referencing Good Morning Vietnam. It is actually the guy that they based Good Morning Vietnam on.
That's pretty
to
interesting.
Play that guy.
Well, how about the comical PA announcements throughout the whole movie?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They were very, that. I was like, what they had, like, don't
drink.
Like,
jokes off left and right with this.
Yeah. Adrian Cronauer, that's the guy. He's a funny guy. You got to get the
best.
Interesting. Like, don't get Robin Williams. I bet you they went to Robin Williams to be Adrian Cronauer, and then they had to get the.
But there was also AN based announcements that was like, "What do you do if a bison soldier throws a grenade at you?"
And also like
pull the pin.
Health insurance announcements.
Yeah.
Anything that we missed? Anything anyone wants to bring up before
this
we?
Movie's terrible.
What do I want to say? Oh, well, the movie starts with them tracing the phone call to they're trying to find
on television.
Bison.
Yes.
They're trying to find Bison is a boat ride away.
Yes.
Right? They're trying to find his base for most of the movie. There's several times in the movie when they cut to a satellite in space, like seeing like everything going on, and they're tracing the fucking phone call in the beginning of the movie. Why can't they find this guy?
By the way, he lives in a temple, like a beautifully ornate temple. It is not hard to find him. That should not have been one of the things that happened in this movie. Oh boy, oh boy. I recommend watching it. I actually enjoyed it. I feel like it's one of those movies that is like very watchably bad. It's on Netflix Instant. It don't cost you nothing.
Is it?
Oh no, you're right. It's not. It's on
like a
iTunes.
$2 iTunes rental.
But
For HD.
Yeah, you got to get an HD.
It was shot in HD.
I went with standard definition on this one.
We have it's a sponsor shout out here. This guy, Mike Hanley, donated over $100 to the show. So thank you, Mike. And for you, Mike, we are going to play something that we only played on a mini episode, and I've been meaning to play it on the actual show. This is a clip. I don't even know how you describe it, but a musical interlude of the show, all the literallys pulled together, all the different quotes, everything at all that was actually made
this
by
is the supercut.
A supercut, and how did this get made supercut? So, and enjoy that. For those of you who have not heard it, I think you'll really like it.
Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question: how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth. Hello, people of Earth. Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made?
I watched this movie at 10 o'clock this morning.
Uh-huh.
And it literally blew my mind. Cher literally puts makeup on Christina Aguilera, and literally the image on the screen, that movie should literally be called Wigs. Every choice they make in the movie is literally, they're literally,
it literally, Stanley Tucci will literally,
and it's an excuse for Cher to literally, even the explanation makes no sense.
It made no sense whatsoever. It makes no sense.
To deliver lines that make no sense.
That's literally a line.
Literally. As there's a guy who literally,
she literally wakes up.
God, that was upsetting.
Really upsetting, actually.
It was actually really upsetting. Oh, it's so upsetting. It's so upsetting.
It is really upsetting.
That was upsetting, actually. I found that really upsetting. That was upsetting. It's really upsetting.
It really is so upsetting.
That was so upsetting.
This movie I found very upsetting.
So upsetting.
That scene upset me.
The title really upset me too.
Literally, her body is ripped apart by this demon. Literally, she is whipped. Literally ripped.
This movie instantly makes no sense.
The entire movie makes zero sense.
It kicks in here in the third act where it goes bonkers.
His performance is bonkers.
His team was bonkers.
All of the fucking crazy bonkers.
Straight up crazo.
Super crazo bonkers.
It is a bonkers, insane world.
It's bonkers.
That is bonkers. She must be so bonkers.
I gotta upload this bonkers next level crazy horror movie. And
tiny
that
little
shit
boy
is bonkers.
Literally
says like
I know people have been writing on the boards that I say literally all the time. Yeah. It's literally that movie, and I know I say literally a lot, guys. You don't have to write about it on the boards. It makes no sense.
It made no sense.
Makes no sense.
This makes no sense. It's literally
literally.
That whole sequence where she got into the cab 10 different ways was crazy. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. So that's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Like,
that was crazy.
This shit is crazy.
It was crazy.
This
that I know.
Is crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Absolutely crazy. I was like, this is absolute insanity. I was like, this movie is insanity. Like, you're literally, I was like, this is absolutely insane. Absolute insanity.
Absolute insanity.
That is insanity.
It's amazing.
This is amazing.
This is an amazing scene.
That scene is amazing.
Oh, that's amazing.
Amazing. Amazing performance.
It's amazing. Wow. Amazing.
Amazing. She was amazing.
Amazing.
Oh, for
the rest of the police department is acting like dildos.
Everybody talks like a fucking dildo in this movie.
You've never been in battle, you dumb dildo.
None of this makes sense.
It makes no sense. The helicopter scene is insane.
His mustache is insane. Yeah. His wig is out of control.
It's out of control.
This is bananas.
And which is bananas.
And it's literally...
That literally is literally lines. It will literally...
I forget how fucking insane this movie was.
This is fucking insane.
They literally, that literally, they showed the car literally. When they were, they literally...
It's mental.
Keep
it's
on improvising.
Mental. It's mental. It was mental.
And that's the whole reason.
Mental.
Man, oh man. Oh man. Oh boy, oh boy. Man, oh man. Oh god. Wow, wow, wow. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh boy. Oh man. Oh man. Oh boy, oh boy.
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 Oh boy. Oh boy.
You mean after?
And I was like, oh boy, here we go. Oh boy, here we go. Oh boy.
Here we go.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Oh brother.
Oh brother.
Oh brother.
Oh brother.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's literally. Like literally, oh, literally, man. Like literally, it that makes no sense.
What the fuck is happening? And I was like, what the fuck is happening? What the fuck is happening? What the fuck is happening? I was like, what is happening right with now? And I was like, what is happening?
I was like, what is happening? What is happening?
I was like, what is happening?
She's like,
what
I'm dating
is happening?
Her.
What is happening? What's now, happening?
What's happening?
But what is happening?
But what is going on?
Like, what the fuck is going on? What the fuck is going on? What is going on?
What is going on? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I've got to say, though, that moment made me really bummed out. That really bummed me out.
Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
Who the fuck knows?
Who cares? Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, shut up, dum-dums.
Blow on it, dum-dum.
Guess what, dum-dum?
Fuck you, dum-dum.
He literally, where he's like literally on suffering.
He literally goes, like, this person is literally.
Let's get to the meat of this fucking movie.
Literally.
How did it get made? I literally am like, I don't know.
That, of course, was the How'd This Get Made supercut made by Kevin Porter. Thank you, Kevin, for all the time that it took you to make that. Kevin also is behind the Aaron Sorkin supercut. If you haven't seen that, it's awesome. It's pretty damn amazing. So thank you, Kevin Porter. All right. John, thank you so much for being
with
us.
Thank you for having me.
It was awesome. I'm glad. Oh. June, do you feel like you – I would like you to, before we leave, just explain your idea of what a Street Fighter is.
I think a street fighter is some. I'm gonna say someone.
Don't look to John.
Someone who fights in the street outside.
Yep, I think that's probably pretty.
So right. You think the movie is invalidated by the indoor fighting?
Yeah, all the interior shots mean nothing to me.
Okay, that's a very strong point of view. All right, that is all. As always, John, what are you on Twitter? How can they follow you?
Oh, God. I don't tweet you much, don't tweet. I got to say. But it's at Gemberlicking.
There it is. You can follow me at Paul Scheer.
At Miss June Diane.
Not on Twitter, guys.
Definitely check out Burning Love Season 3 right now on at burninglove.com. My comic book, Alien vs. Parker, is out in stores right now. Issue 2 on newsstands or at Comicology. You can get it there. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.